Blog Talk Radio.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a snack. A little early for an intermission, I know, but have to think on my feet here for the opening show of music. Since I am still on my sojourn to my folks' place for the weekend, I do not have access to the internet except in, well, I can get on the internet in my father's room. I can plug into the modem. And my brother has the only computer in the house that will log on to the Wi-Fi. But it's past 10 o'clock, and they're both in their beds, snugly, I hope. But it does mean that I don't have any access to the internet, so I just do this over the phone, and we'll get away with it, I guess. It's now that tomorrow is the 24th of December, which is my parents' wedding anniversary, their 60th wedding anniversary. So kudos to them. I really do wish, I'm not someone who's into materialistic displays of love and affection in any way. Well, we'll see in any way. I do like buying jewelry for women other than that. But, you know, given that, I'm sorry, a train is going by and that always distracts me. I have no psychic resistance to trains. Well, anyway, it's my mom and dad's 60th wedding anniversary, and I really wish, you know, could do more for them. I'm giving them a little plaque that I got at a department store that has a nice little saying on it that I can't even remember what it was. I'd have to dig it out. No, I can't even dig it out. Now it's wrapped. So it'll be a surprise to me, too, when they unwrap it. And that's usually, I usually get them something like that. But 10 years ago for their 50th anniversary, my brother and I took them out to dinner, and he said a toast to them in front of all the people in the restaurant. And I sang a song. We brought a little karaoke machine, and I sang As Time Goes By. So it's kind of a nice thing, and I think they appreciated that more than any sort of material thing, but we don't even have that this time. And I'm feeling kind of like shit. So that's the theme that's going to go through this show, I think. I'll try to fight it, but it may not even be a good reason to. I made this episode, which is my 30th episode on this show, by the way. How time flies when you're having fun. This is episode XXX, starring, who was that guy who made Triple X? I had his name, the bald guy. He was in the Fast and Furious movies and Saving Private Ryan. He also did a spy movie where he was Triple X. But anyway, nothing too terribly dirty this time. On the topic of Roman numerals, I was bitterly disappointed last year because it was going to be, it was Super Bowl 50. You know how they always would put the Roman numerals on the Super Bowls. And I waited my whole life for Super Bowl 50 to roll around because it would be Super Bowl L, just L and nothing else. I wanted that so badly. I wanted to see Super Bowl, what the logo looked like, Super Bowl L. How are they going to do that? And they totally chickened out. They just called it Super Bowl 50, and I was one in a long series of bitter disappointments that have made up the last several years of my life. But anyway, you didn't come here to hear of that. You came here to hear wit and wisdom, and And I was getting real close to the end of 2016, and I haven't gotten my new shipment of Wit and Wisdom. I'm still kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel of 2016's Wit and Wisdom. So you are going to have to bear with me, I guess. Anyway, thank you for tuning in tonight. I do appreciate it. I know that many of you have other things to do, familial stuff, and I do. I'm here myself. As I was saying, tomorrow is the big anniversary celebration. We're going to go to a buffet, and that's going to be our celebration. And Mom's getting us out of the house at 10:30 in the morning, so we can be there. You know, it's in, we don't have one in our little burg here. We have to go up the street about a half an hour or so. But on the plus side, I remember last year we got there. We left at 10:30, got there at 11, and they were still cleaning up the breakfast stuff. So we got bacon and sausage gravy. Probably better than just about anything they had on the lunch buffet. So that was nice. You know, you just never know what good things are going to happen when you're, you know, when your mom gets you out of bed early. So we go and do that, and then we come back and we have our sort of immediate family Christmas. For those of you who haven't listened to the show before, my background is Christian, specifically Lutheran, and I do honor my parents' tradition. So we have a tree with lights. My mother won't turn the lights on because she's afraid they'll burn out. And I said, okay, that's the last time I will joke on my mom tonight. I love my mother. She's a terrific little old lady in her mid-70s who wants nothing but the best for me. So I won't tell. I won't tell any more little old lady jokes on her tonight. So we will sit under the tree and do the Santa Claus thing. It's just us, mom and dad, my brother and I. Normally my daughter joins us, but she has, my daughter would join us with my granddaughter, but the granddaughter is with her dad this year for Christmas. So my daughter brought her a week earlier, so we did that part of our Christmas a week ago. So the Christmas starts to become fractured, you see. And we'll do our immediate family Christmas tomorrow. And then on Christmas, we'll have our relatives from the local area over. And it will be loud because there are many small children. And last year, the last 2 years, I've had pretty good luck because the Mika Moto Auctions puts on a Christmas marathon. So I can find there's a little side room, which is my mom's room. It has a TV in it, and I can watch the Meekum and Hyde when it gets really kind of nasty and annoying. My granddaughter hid in there with me for a while last year. That was fun. She had a couple of her toys, and she just sat on the floor and played, and I watched the Meekum. And if you get tired of the Meekum, you can always turn it over to the Christmas Story Marathon, which is nice. Enjoy the Christmas Story Marathon as well. So that will probably be my Christmas. I mean, yeah, my Aunt Debbie will bring over a lot of good food and candy and stuff, which I have to really watch because with the medication I'm taking, I'm seriously considering backing off on my medication until I'm going to drive home. After everybody goes home, I'm going to drive home, and I'm very concerned that, you know, this medication I take makes me run to the bathroom a lot, especially when I eat a lot of stuff I shouldn't eat, like candy. Something's got a lot of sugar in it. So should moderate my sugar intake, and I perhaps might moderate my intake of the medicine as well until I get home. Might not be the greatest thing to do, but I need an hour and a half in the car where I'm not, you know, stopping and pulling over trying to find a place to evacuate. So we will trying to arrange things so that all those things can take place as they should. And then it's, you know, back to real life. Well, not quite back to real life because we still have New Year's coming, and that's a New Year's party at Chief Iggy's. So that will be fun. I'm thinking of recording. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to record yet. But that won't be, that'll be after next week's show. So New Year's on the show, at least as insofar as things recorded at Iggy's party are concerned, wouldn't take place until, what, January 5th? Is that how it works? January 6th? January 6th, because the 1st is a Sunday, which means since I don't have television in my apartment, I'm going to have to, I'll probably have to go to the casino on Monday so I can watch the Winter Classic. That's a fun thing. I do enjoy the Winter Classic. I usually only watch the original one, not the cheap carbon copies that they do now. It's usually one a year, and that's what they should do. They should do one a year. They try and do more than one a year, and it just cheapens the whole thing. But if you don't know, the Winter Classic is the NHL hockey game that's played outdoors. And it's just cool because, you know, sometimes it snows. And it's fun. Last year's, I think, was in Los Angeles, some just freaky place to have a game like that. And they had put down, you know, fake snow on the ground, you know, for decoration. And the wind kicked up and blew this fake snow all of it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, snowflakes or anything. It's like cotton almost. As they just picked this stuff up and started blowing it all around. Best laid plans of mice and men, I guess. But serves them right for trying to fool us. Serves them right for putting an outdoor hockey game in Los Angeles. I had heard that back in the day, back in the 80s, they had played a minor league hockey game outdoors in Las Vegas. And they had a trouble. They like got one of the big casinos and put a bunch of lights up. And they had a problem with grasshoppers coming and because of the light, and they would land on the ice and instantly freeze. And just, I guess, tons of dead grasshoppers to clean up. That would have been fun to see. Oh, a festival of frozen grasshoppers. You probably could have, you know, dipped it in some chocolate and had some hors d'oeuvres there. It's, anyway, I titled this show, what did I title it? See, that's the other thing about being in, without the internet, I can't look at what it is I'm supposed to be doing. I know it's episode 30, and I've already discussed that. Something about samsara. It's some sort of, I remember the episode title was going to make it seem as if I had prepared, which of course I hadn't. I never do. But back in my Buddhist days, I remembered hearing about samsara and the ocean of samsara, and that made an impression on me. And samsara is the it's like the ocean of samsara. Someone, a Buddhist teacher, had said samsara is like an ocean. It's like it's all the experiences of life and all the multiple crossing pathways and all the different ways that people experience life, and they all kind of mix together. There's no way to really pull them apart. There's just one mass that just sort of leads to, you know, enlightenment or reincarnation or whatever, you know, brand of sort of Indian religion, East Indian religion that you're talking about. I guess, excuse me, the Buddha said, or, you know, who knows what the Buddha said, because nothing he said was recorded at the time. I want to say extemporaneously. Is that the correct word? Means at the same time. Well, anyway. But, of course, nothing Jesus said was recorded at the time he said it either, so why should I hold back, right? But a description of the ocean of samsara. If samsara is like an ocean, then suffering is the waves of that ocean that just kind of hits you all the time. Now, I had a little bit of, I was a little bit reluctant to talk about suffering because everybody has, when you talk about suffering, everybody has sort of different ways of understanding it and different gradations of suffering. You know, that some suffering is worse than other suffering, and I think it's certainly it's fair to say that. But what the, sort of the result of that is, you can't, you know, don't complain. Don't talk about your suffering because someone else's suffering is worse. So if someone else's suffering is worse than mine, then I'm not allowed to talk about mine. And I've always had a problem with that because I want to talk about mine, but then I feel bad about it because I'm always thinking of whose suffering might be worse than mine. And that has become, oh, my computer went off. Hold on. I must have run out of screensaver. I thought it went a little bit longer than that. I'm sorry, that startled me. I'm sitting here with, I have the lights out in my room here, and it's just lit only by the frosty blue glow of the laptop screen with the screensaver going. And the screensaver went away. I said, oh, what, did the bombs fall? What happened? Yeah, we got to start thinking about bombs again. Isn't that fun? That sort of leads, not really, but kind of, it's on the same track as what, where I was going with all this was I hadn't thought about samsara for a long time. And I started thinking about it recently in relationship to what many of my friends are going through. They're having a really hard time with this election and the results of the election. And the effect on me has been that I have actually lost a few people. You can talk about it in terms of, the only way I really know if I've lost them or not is if they unfriend me on Facebook. I don't know if it means I've actually lost them or not. But that's the only metric I really have. So a few have actually gone that route, have actually cut me off. And then there are other ones I just feel... Yeah, I try to write my little things on Facebook, you know, try and write my pithy comments, but I find it's always in the back of my mind, is this going to piss somebody off? You know, because everybody is just so on a hair trigger right now. I hate to say, we're not supposed to use gun metaphors anymore, I know, but everybody's so, everybody's so sensitive about this now. And we've constructed... others have constructed, I don't know that I have, others have constructed very elaborate schema for you, who belongs and who doesn't belong, who's with me and who's against me. And there's no moderation. You just go, you know, you're out. If you don't fit, you're out. And that's no way to run a railroad. We're not going to get anywhere that way. And there's a certain, going back to the idea of Buddhism, there's a certain hopelessness in Buddhism. Turn your frown upside down system. It's the Buddha said essentially shit happens. He was asked once, and again, this is all stuff is just much like the Bible, all this stuff about the Buddha was written many, many years after he died. And but the author reported that once he was asked, you know, to speak to karma, you know, what's karma all about, and how we should act. You know, because with regard to karma, and there's this very lyrical response which I can't really remember all of us. You know, somebody, you know, he said, sometimes you get sick, sometimes you break your plow, sometimes you know you step in a puddle. You know, it's basically it's the Buddha's nice way of saying, you know, sometimes shit just happens. It's not always because you know you're grandfather seven times removed didn't say his mantra as many times as he should have, or even that you did something to somebody. Karma basically doesn't work that way. You think, well, karma is going to get you. Well, maybe, but if it does, it'll probably happen. You know, 100 manifestations from now, when I'm in this universe over here and he's in this universe over here, and I'm never going to know about it anyway. So you're going to depend on karma to square your accounts. Then you really do have to have faith. You probably make a better Christian than a Buddhist, because putting your faith in karma is very much like putting your faith in Jesus Christ or in God. And you're probably not going to see too many immediate results. Speaking of immediate results, I still haven't heard back from my friends in China. I did actually write back to them, wrote to them to kind of prod them, and still have not heard, so I don't know what's going to happen with this, and I find I am unhappy about that. I wouldn't have believed that, say, a month ago, that had this opportunity gone by the wayside. I mean, I thought, okay, this would be great to pursue, and if I find out, you know, that I don't, for whatever reason, it's not something that I want to do, if I find I don't like this company or like the way they do things, or that it's just, you know, that it's too dangerous or whatever, then, you know, I can just walk away from it and it'll be fine. I've invested in it emotionally, which is unusual for me. Frankly, it is to start to think about something I want to do. And there's just no, you know, it's totally out of my hands. You know, somebody has to come back to me and say, okay, we're going to do this. And then they don't. And then they don't. And then they still don't. Then they do ask me to do one thing, and I do that for them. I made the video. You know, they sent me some questions to ask in a video and send it back to them. I did that. And I get the confirmation that they picked it up. And then I don't hear anything, and then I don't hear anything, and then I don't hear anything. Is it possible, you know, you could just, you know, just tell me what's going on? I mean, is there some sort of schedule we could think of? You know, maybe I know that can't be, maybe there's not a precise schedule, but now I'm getting into this. This is the way my thought process works. And then the other side of it is, you know, this is a different culture. This is not the American culture where we go by schedules. I don't know, I shouldn't say this because I don't know a whole lot about Eastern cultures, but I've been told that it's not as rigid a thing. You know, that I would probably not, you know, based on what I've been told, I would probably not receive a sheet of paper telling me when this is going to happen. Things take time, and so I have to accept that. And there's a thing, and I looked at it, and I was going to look at it and talk about this, and I said, no, I don't think I really want to talk about that because I'm not a Buddhist teacher, not even close. But there's a thing called the Four Noble Truths. That's sort of the formulation of the way things are taught. In Buddhism, it's the four this, the six that, the nine other things. It's the Four Noble Truths, and it's about the end of suffering. You know, how does suffering come to an end? And I was going to look at that and study it so they could explain a little better, but I failed to do that because I didn't want this show to be about that. I guess the reason I mentioned it now, I don't know why I even mentioned it now, except to say that how things that in the past, you know, Buddhism was very important to me in the past, and now I don't even remember exactly how the Four Noble Truths go. Maybe this thing in China, which seems very important to me. I mean, it should be difficult to be. I've invested so little in it. You know, I $8 for passport photos. I never did get the passport. And it would be because, you know, members of my family are so dead set against it. There would be some emotional capital to be spent there if it happened. If it were to not happen, my life with my family would be quite a bit, you know, easier. I wouldn't have to go through all this thing about explaining about why I wanted to go to China. Because I would be called upon to explain. There would be no acceptance. I would have to explain myself, and I would have to answer questions. And gosh, I hate questions are so annoying. I hate answering questions. I mean, not in a teaching sense, you know, obviously in a teaching sense, my job is to answer questions, and my job is to be prepared to the point where I can answer questions. And if I get a question that I can't answer, to say, okay, come back, you know, next class, and I'll have your answer. I can handle that. What I can't handle is questions of my, you know, my motivations and what I want to do. And have you considered this? It doesn't, you know, it's just difficult for me to do. And even though it comes, I know it comes from a place of love and a place of concern and of care, it's still difficult for me to do that, to say, well, here's why I want to go to China, and here's the answer to this question, here's the answer to this question. Maybe I should treat it more as a teaching moment. Maybe if I did that, it would be easier for me. Gosh, coming to revelations in this show, how about that? That also does not normally happen. Normally, I just rattle on for half an hour, sometimes for 45 minutes. Sometimes you get really lucky, and I rattle on for 45 minutes. Not tonight. Tonight's straight half an hour. There goes the train again. I have this, that's something I think I've talked about it on the show before, but I have this affinity for trains. And, you know, I hear them at night, and you wonder where they're going. You know, who's that person that's on that train? What are they hauling? Where are they going? And it's just all these things I can never know. Like, when I'll pass as I see the thing, they have lots of, you know, college bowl games and whatnot. I think, oh, geez, what would it have been like to go to that school? So you get lots. I get lots of that right now because there's lots of different colleges on the schools and you know, in basketball too. I was just out there. What was it? San Francisco, University of San Francisco, because I got kind of a hankering for San Francisco when I went there a few years back. I says, geez, maybe I should have gone to the University of San Francisco. Although I think it's a Catholic school, but anyway. Oh, well, I have ripped through everything I wanted to say today. No, that's not true. I have one more. My lady friend has successfully made her transition to. I should tell was not just my lady friend, just someone I was acquainted with at back in my home, and. I was here one time on a sojourn when my parents came back and found out she'd been busted, and for dope and was in jail. And I've talked about this on the show. I went and saw her in jail and whatnot. Well, she has successfully made the transition from jail to the rehab, which I understand she has been in rehab before. And I sent her a Christmas card. Because, you know, at that point, I saw her in the jail, and at that point, it would have been incredibly easy to just fade away, because, you know, we had no contact, except for this, you know, my neighbor person who's the father of her daughter. It would be the only way I could possibly contact her, but he gave me the address of her rehab, and I sent her a Christmas card, and I've run out of time. I can't even tell you this dopey story now, except just to say there isn't much to it. I just sent her the Christmas card. So, you know, I've left that door open, and I'm not 100% sure why I did. I don't know. I mean, it's going nowhere, but I left the door open. And I guess, you know, I'll keep you up to date on what may happen regards that, or what may happen regarding China, or what may happen regarding the ocean of samsara. But right now, I'm out of time. It's a rather weird show. We'll have the Day Before New Year's show next week, and then probably some recorded material from Iggy's New Year's Eve party the following week. Until then, thank you for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.